SWAT cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
PM on the 25th of March, Station Street, Port Elizabeth. A police patrol vehicle driven by Warrant Officer Hammond pulls up in front of a parked taxi. The Warrant Officer and Lieutenant Stain alight from the vehicle.
Are you sure about the registration number?
Yes, sir. CB19229.
The name of the driver?
Gardner, sir.
Right, let's have a word with Mr. Gardner. Seen us coming.
But he's staying put.
Good evening.
Yeah?
We'd like to ask you some questions about the death of a man called Van Hastien.
Look out, sir. He's off.
Just a minute. Stop.
Mister, if that's the way you want to play, let's go and get him, Mr. Hammond.
PM. The taxi, which was facing northwest, suddenly prescribes a half circle in the road, skidding violently. Then the driver swings the vehicle to the right into Jetty Street. The two policemen run to their car and jump in.
He's not wasting any time.
No, sir.
He turned right here.
Can you see him, sir?
Yes, there he is. Going up White's Road.
He seems to be implicated, sir, judging from the way he took off.
Yes, I thought it was perhaps another wild goose chase. Some crank or other.
How did you come by the information, sir?
I should think it was about 5 to 8 when the phone rang in my desk. Lieutenant Stain.
Constable Longer. A call for you, sir.
Who is it?
The caller wouldn't say, sir. He says he has vital information about a murder and wanted to speak to the officer in charge.
All right, put him through.
Very good, sir. You're through now. Speak up, please.
Hello?
What's your name?
Never mind that. 3 weeks ago, a man called Chick Van Hastien died. They say he died of pneumonia. Well, he didn't. He was murdered.
Is this for real, or are you wasting my time?
It's for real, all right.
Did this happen here in Port Elizabeth?
Yes.
How do you know?
That's something else best left unsaid. Talk to a taxi driver called Gardner. He drives a cab with the registration number CB19229. He can tell you everything you need to know. You'll find him in Station Street.
Hello. Hello, hello. Warrant Officer Hammond.
Sir?
Bring a car around. We're going downtown.
He's doubled back on himself, sir. He's going down Military Road.
Crazy fool. Stick with him.
Hold tight, sir.
PM. The speeding taxi careers along South Union Street and swerves violently into Warmer Road. The police vehicle follows in hot pursuit. At the junction of Hill Road, Warrant Officer Hammond is confronted with the sight of an articulated petrol tanker emerging to cross their path and come down the hill towards town.
Watch your face, sir. I'm throwing out the anchors.
Get this thing out of the way, man.
I'm stuck here. I misjudged the turn.
That's all we needed. Back up and go around the block.
Right, sir.
But by the time the two policemen regain the Warmer Road, there's no sight of their quarry.
Last.
Sorry, sir.
Not your fault. It was that clown with the petrol lorry. Anyway, drive as far as the airport. We may be lucky. I'll alert control. This is special duties, vehicle number 2, calling control. Over.
Go ahead, number 2. Over.
Put out a general alert for a cream Detroit, model unknown. Registration number CB19229. The driver, a man believed to be called Gardner, is wanted for questioning in regard to an investigation set in motion by an anonymous informer earlier this evening. We ourselves are proceeding as far as the airport. Over and out.
Lieutenant Steyn and Warrant Officer Hammond actually drive 30 miles beyond their objective without seeing any sign of the vehicle they're pursuing. Disconsolately, they drive back to Port Elizabeth, where the investigation is resumed early the next day.
Come on.
Registrar, births, marriages and deaths. Can I help you?
Morning. Lieutenant Steyn, CID. What details have you of a man called, thought to be called, Chick Van Hastien? I have reason to believe that he died some 3 weeks ago.
Just hang on. I'll look it up for you.
Thank you. Any news of that taxi, Mr. Hammer?
No, sir. But I've managed to get Gardner's address from the licensing office. The name's correct, sir. Henry Gardner, Russell Heights, Main Street. I've got the car out in the front if you want to go down there.
Good, when I'm through here.
Right, sir.
Hello?
Yes, still here.
The only Van Hastien who died around that time was called Cedric. He was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital on the evening of the 2nd of March. He was of no fixed address and was buried in a pauper's grave.
Have you got the death certificate in front of you?
Yes.
What was the cause of death?
It says here, lobar pneumonia.
Was there an autopsy?
No.
Any next of kin quoted?
No.
What's the grave number?
145 East 25.
145 East 25. Good, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Right, Mr. Hammond, let's go to Russell Heights Main Street. What connections did your husband have with a man called Cedric Van Hastien?
Van Hastien? I don't think I ever heard him mention anybody by that name. Why? What's going on?
Who are your husband's friends and associates?
Well, I don't think he has any. Keeps himself very much to himself. But what's all this about?
Well, I'm not quite sure yet, Mrs. Gardner. But your husband's wanted for questioning, and it's my duty to inform you of the law and the penalties involved regarding the harboring of criminals.
Criminals? You mean Henry?
We tried to talk to him last night, and he behaved in a most suspicious manner. He was last seen driving in the direction of the airport. If he comes back here, you'd be advised to contact me. My name is Lieutenant Steyn, at the CID.
But what's it all about?
I don't know. But your husband's afraid of something.
Lieutenant Steyn places the facts that he's uncovered at the disposal of the brigadier in charge of the CID, along with a request for an exhumation order. The brigadier is sufficiently impressed to channel the request to the right quarter. The order is granted. And the next day, the 27th of March, sees Lieutenant Steyn and Warrant Officer Hammon at the graveside in company with the district surgeon.
What's it all about, anyway?
I haven't the foggiest idea, but there's something not right here.
Gently, now. Back that vehicle a bit closer. You want a postmortem?
Yes, please, Doctor.
What are you looking for? Or should I say, what do you want me to look for?
I don't know.
One of those, eh? Well, might take a little time.
I'm in no hurry.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, gentlemen.
That's all right, Doctor. Was it as difficult as you feared?
Very interesting. This is the way the official autopsy report will read.
Thank you. This is the body of a well-developed, well-nourished white male, 6 feet in height and weighing 170 pounds. There is evidence that the deceased suffered grave injuries recently, with fractures of the skull, arms, legs and ribs. There were also multiple internal injuries.
And those injuries should have been enough to kill him, but they didn't. And neither did lobar pneumonia. Read on.
In death, the body developed the characteristic cherry red color of carbon monoxide poisoning, with a concentration of 34.3%. Carbon monoxide poisoning. You sure?
You want a second opinion?
No. I just find it strange that some member of the medical profession could have been so obliging as to write on the death certificate pneumonia as the cause of death.
Well, anyone can make a mistake. Doctors aren't infallible, you know.
Carbon monoxide. A car's exhaust fumes?
No.
How can you speak with such certainty?
When fuel is burned in an engine, there's a residue of carbon. There were no deposits of carbon in Van Hastien's lungs whatsoever.
So?
I'd plunk for coal gas, ordinary household gas that you cook with.
Is it suicide, then?
Lieutenant, it's up to you to discover that.
If it wasn't for Gardner's suspicious behavior, I'd plump for suicide.
Gardner?
Local taxi driver. He's on the run somewhere.
That sounds intriguing.
Oh, it is.
What's the next move, then, sir?
Just a minute, Mr. Hammond. Doctor, these other injuries you mentioned, these fractures and so on, you said they indicated recent injuries. How recent?
Well, judging from the calcium secreted by the body to repair the fractures, I say that these injuries occurred within the last 6 months.
I see. All right, Doctor, thank you. I'd be grateful for a typed copy of the PM report as soon as it's available.
Of course.
I'll be seeing you again, I suppose.
Yes, sure. Where are you off to now?
The hospital. Come on, Mr. Harmon.
You're very lucky. We don't normally keep things for this long, you know.
Mm-hmm. These are the clothes Van Hastien was wearing when he was brought in on the 2nd of March.
That's right.
Pretty shabby, aren't they?
Yeah, typical of a hobo, though.
Well, I've met well-nourished hobos.
This envelope. A few things he had on him. Comb, matches, cigarettes, 9 cents. Empty half-jack.
Not much of a legacy, is it? I'm going to take him with me. You want a receipt?
No. No good to us. Shouldn't think they're any dependents. Shouldn't think they'd be worth more than a bob or two.
They might be worth a great deal to me. We'll see what they look like under a microscope.
Mortuary.
Is Lieutenant Sten with you?
Hang on. For you.
Thanks. Lieutenant Sten?
Constable Longer here, sir. Message for you. Henry Gardner has been picked up in Cape Town. Western Cape request instructions.
Has he got his car with him?
Apparently, sir.
Get the Brigadier to issue a request to the effect that he be brought here with the car. Under escort.
Brigadier's request to the police in the Western Cape is complied with. And within 24 hours, Henry Gardner is being interrogated by Lieutenant Stane.
Why did you run away?
I was scared.
Why?
I could fright. Well, so would anyone. Policeman suddenly pitching up at your car door like that.
Oh, come on, Gardner. You might get a fright for a few seconds or so, but a policeman at the door of your car shouldn't be enough to send you scurrying across country to Cape Town. What's the game?
Isn't it a crime to run away from the police?
I ordered you to stop.
I didn't hear you.
All right, let's try another tack. Who was Cedric Van Hastien?
I don't know.
Or did you know him better as Chick?
I don't know the name.
It was enough to send you off in a blue funk.
I've got nothing more to say to you.
Somebody phoned me, a man, to tell me that Van Hastien had been murdered. He said that you could help us with our investigations. Now then, Gardner, you may find this interesting. This is an analysis report on the few belongings that Van Hastien had when he died. Traces of blood of the A1MNRH group were found. A carbon test determined that the blood was 115 days old. It was present on the shirt, jacket, trousers, socks, and shoes.
So?
Well, there seems to be a lengthy report on the various kinds of dust which were found in the clothing. I'm not concerned with that. I'm attracted to this bit, though. Listen.
Yes?
A minute sample, a trace, of cellulose paint of the type used in the spraying of cars was discovered. Microscopic examination revealed that the pigments used to color the paint were conducive to producing the color cream. What have you got to say to that?
Oh, what do you expect me to say? What does that prove?
The color of your taxi is cream.
Hey, what are you getting at?
Now, look, Gardner, you could save us a lot of time and trouble if you tell me what happened.
I don't know what happened. I have nothing to do with this man.
Well, we'll see. Just to keep you in the picture, I'd better tell you that I'm going to scrape a sample of paint off your car and send it to the government laboratories for comparison. Meanwhile, you stay here.
Here's the address, sir, where they collected Van Hastien that night.
I'll go to a boarding house, Strand Street.
I made inquiries about it, sir. Boarding house is very grandiose. It's a place where you can buy a bed for the night for 15 cents.
Not exactly the Ritz, eh?
No, sir. It's just on the left here, sir. It's apparently run by Mrs. Kombrunk, Omar Kombrunk. Quite a character.
Where's the entrance?
Up the wooden steps here, sir. Up on the first floor.
Dark enough.
And smelly enough.
Who's there?
Police.
What do you want? I run a respectable place here. Never any trouble.
A little more than 3 weeks ago, a man died here.
Ah, that's right. Oh, chick. What of it?
Where did he die?
In his bed. We didn't know he was so sick. He went in the night like the snuffing of a candle. He was a regular customer of mine, man and boy, for 15 years.
Who was with him when he died?
Nobody. It's a rule of the house, one person per bed.
Do you have gas here?
Oh, that's right. It's permitted by the health authorities. I've got a license to prove it.
Use it for light?
Yeah, they made me put in electricity. Cost a packet, too.
You use it for cooking?
That's it, cooking. Wholesome food, nice clean beds.
So where's the kitchen?
Just along here. First on the right. Mind your head.
I see. Where are the dormitories? The sleeping area?
Oh, up the passage on the left.
Is it possible to get into the kitchen at night?
Oh, yeah. Everything's locked away. They can't steal nothing.
See? Who actually found Van Hastien?
Now, let me see. Oh, yeah, it was Jaffe. They sometimes worked on the road together. You know, they follow the sun, these boys. Hitchhike and walk all over the country.
Is Jaffe a nickname?
Yeah, that's right. His real name's Finch. He'd been with Chick for some time before his death. He said they was caught in a storm down by George. Chick caught his death, pneumonia, you see.
That's what Finch said, eh?
That's right.
Is Finch staying here at the moment?
No, I haven't seen him since Monday night.
Monday, that was the 25th, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. He just popped in and collected his case and said he was off again.
What does he look like?
Why? What do you want him for?
Just a routine matter.
He's small, you know. He's got jackal's features, very sharp. Well, of course, he's brown and lined. He's skinny, too. Well, but ask any gentleman of the road. I'll tell you where to find him.
Mr. Harmon, get under control for a general alert. I'm going to see Dr. Meyerowitz. Dr. Meyerowitz, did you sign this death certificate?
Yes. Why? What appears to be the trouble?
You say that cause of death was pneumonia. Did you treat the man prior to his death?
No. What appears to be the trouble?
Cedric Van Hastien died of carbon monoxide poisoning. He was gassed.
Good heavens, no. Not really.
What led you to the conclusion that he died of pneumonia?
It was his friend said so. He said he'd been ill for some time with a cough, temperature and so on. He told of how they'd been caught in a storm. It seemed very conclusive. I'm in semi-retirement, you know. To tell you the truth, I was rather anxious to get away from the place. I don't have the practice that I had. I took the man's word in good faith. I hope it's not going to lead to any unpleasantness.
The man who gave you the information about Van Hastien's state of health, what did he look like?
He's a little man with a foxy face.
Come and sit down, Gardner.
You can't hold me here like this?
Yes, I can. And I'm going to hold you until I'm satisfied about the circumstances surrounding Van Hastien's death.
I never heard of that man. How many more times must I tell you?
Here's another lab report that I'd like you to hear. Also an analysis. You remember we took a sample of paint from your car? Well, the labs say that it matches the paint found on Van Hastings' clothing.
It's impossible.
I'm afraid not. You've got forensic science against you, Gardner. This report is properly certified. It's legal evidence. And if I add this evidence to other things which were discovered during a post-mortem examination of Van Hastings' body, I get something which seems to add up to a nasty accident involving your taxi and Van Hastings. That's logic.
You examined the body?
That's right. The body was exhumed. What have you got to say to that?
I want to talk to a lawyer.
Yes, certainly. You have that right. Why don't you tell me what happened?
Now, I want to talk to a lawyer. I'm not saying another word until I do.
Any news of Finch, the hobo? Well, I want him found. He's vital in the case. Please, yes, I don't care if he's gone to Southwest Africa. I want him here in P.E.
Chaffee? No, I haven't seen him since Durban last year.
Must be all of 3 years since I shed a door for them boiler and was in my pinch over.
Yeah, we rode the rails together across the border. There was a mistake on my part. They kicked me out of Botswana and told me not to come back.
Yeah? My name's Finch.
You're under arrest.
What for?
You're wanted in South Africa.
You can't make me go there.
I'm afraid we can. You're being extradited.
But I haven't done anything.
They think differently in Port Elizabeth. You'll be taken there under escort on tonight's train. You're such a VIP, they're having a reception committee laid on to meet you. A Lieutenant Stain.
Now then, Finch, was it you who phoned me on the 25th of March?
Phoned you? Where? Why?
I've had the whole story from Gardner.
You what? Has he blabbed a lot then?
I'm afraid so. You're very seriously implicated in the death of Cedric Van Hastings.
Is that what he told you?
Yes.
Well, let me put the record straight. You're not going to stretch my neck. So let me tell you the way it really happened.
I'm listening. Gardner, I want to tell you a story. There was once a taxi driver. It was quite late one night. The way I figure it, it was the 6th, 7th or 8th of November. This taxi driver had had more to drink than was good for him. He collected a pedestrian on his front fender. He panicked. He drove away from the scene of the accident without reporting it to anyone. He thought at first he'd killed the pedestrian, but he hadn't.
But...
the pedestrian lived. Not only that, he remembered the make and registration number of the car that hit him. He didn't say anything to the police because he had nearly 4 months free hospitalization. That meant he had bed and board at the provincial administration's expense.
Yes, but...
wait a minute. But while he was in hospital, he got to thinking, and when he came out, the first thing he did was to contact the man who'd knocked him down and left him for dead. He began to blackmail him, and the taxi driver, realizing that he was in danger of losing his license, and therefore his means of livelihood, decided that it would be best to do away with the pedestrian.
Listen.
He even went to the lengths of procuring an accomplice. Together, the taxi driver and his accomplice plied the pedestrian with drink until he was insensible. Then they took him, in the taxi, ironically enough, to the Algoa boarding house in Strand Street. They pretended to put him to bed for the night. And during the night, on his own, the taxi driver dragged the poor, unfortunate pedestrian into the kitchen. It was there that he forced a rubber pipe down the pedestrian's throat. The other end was attached to a gas tap. He turned on the gas, and it wasn't very long before the pedestrian departed from this world.
No, it's a lie. I never...
Yes, you did. And I'm glad to say that I'm in a position to prove it.
Bulge as he vehemently denies Lieutenant Stain's accusations.
Finch is a liar. If that's what he says about me...
That's mistake number two, Gardner. I only ever called him an accomplice in the story. How do you know his name was Finch?
No, please, I'm sorry. I was frightened. I stood to lose everything. He was only a bum man, I hope.
He was also a human being. The other mistake you made...
No, please, give a man a chance.
It's a bit late for that, Gardner. What chance did you give Van Hastings? You murdered him like a dog. If you'd paid your accomplice the money you promised him, this would never have happened. You kept putting him off, and he got so fed up that he phoned me. That was the beginning of the end for you. If you'd only stopped after that accident in November. It was November, wasn't it?
Yes.
You'd have only lost your license. This way you stand to lose everything.
Edward Finch turned state's evidence in the case and was sent to prison for 10 years. Confronted with the overwhelming evidence of Finch and medical science, a judge and two assessors had no hesitation in sentencing Henry Gardner to die on the gallows.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.